Blog Talk Radio.
That's all right.
Okay.
Man.
Okay, K-Tipple. If a pimp is running down the street, he's about to do what?
He's about to tell them hoes, stop all that damn talking and go back to damn what?
Down anywhere again. Rolanda.
Okay, I am going to go with, she said 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Characters in movies. There's a lot of women actresses in movies, so I'm going to say slightly lower than that. And I'm going to go, look, I sound like I'm on the Million Dollar
Jeopardy, hell yeah.
Look, I would like to ask the audience. Oh, okay.
Hot wife to be loose. I mean, I need to know what Miss T-A-Z is going to look like.
I have a picture, yes, here.
All women have their backs turned in a long Indian dress. Which back is hers?
The big back, yes.
Man, she's got a big Nagami. Carrying over the thirst, or I may need a wheelbarrow.
You black man like big box? I heard song. Baby got the back. Baby got the back. I like big butts, and I can't let
hold up. Night. Hold up, sir. Money a lot.
We didn't have no money. And here's the speech I gave DJ. We ain't got no money. All I got is $40 for gas. That's when gas was low. We ain't talking about just now, right? We talking about years ago in 96, 97, early 97.
Yeah, at least 20 years ago. Okay.
And gas was low. You can ride $40 and go all the way back down south. I said, I only got $40. We can't eat. No, we can't eat. I said, I know this girl in Louisville. And if she don't look good, we ain't staying here. But if she look good, I'm going to ask her to cook us so. So the whole time, man, you're going, please look good. Please.
What greets?
Can we say that?
Really?
Once I'm with you, I'll never go back.
Truly.
Here is a lesson that I wanna teach.
Girl, I'm still waiting. Practice what you preach.
Oh,
yeah,
Lord.
Just like I said, I seen you coming through that door with that pretty smile. Debbie, don't hit me in the head with a brick. It's just entertainment, girl. Just entertainment.
Hey, and from the second book, if it ain't making money, you said if I slap an H, I expect my money. Go on to elaborate, K Tickle.
Let me tell you something. It says what it says. If you put your money in a slot machine and nobody has a potato chip don't come out, you slap that machine and what happens?
I'm through. Mr. Turner. For real than a mug. Let's get this in a movie and get one of these young, up-and-coming hip-hop artists to play Chris.
I agree, and that's what we're shooting for, too, and just being able to tell, you know, give an alternate, you know, an alternate to our story in terms of hip-hop. So.
Correct. Well, I appreciate you for coming on. Like I said, I will stay in contact with you and definitely check on you from time to time. And when that next book come out, my brother, make sure you hit me up so I can get a hold of him. I'm one of your number one fans now.
Oh, man, I appreciate it. Listen, I'm a fan of the show, too. This is, you know, probably one of the best interviews I've had. You guys are, you know, absolutely great. I appreciate you. I appreciate everything you do. These type of venues are absolutely important because it helps artists such as myself, you know, for us to get to that next level.
Everybody else I see on the line, DJ, you in the house?
I'm here, babe.
Hey, T-A-D-P. I wanted to say recorded live, but
the line.
We got it cut out.
I see, on the line, I see DJ.
I'm here, babe.
Yeah, just like you said on the promo.
That's what I always say.
G-Wright is supposed to be calling in. I don't see G-Wright, but I do see CJ. And matter of fact, here goes a 404 number right now, and I'm going to ask 404, Z-Talk, baby, who is this?
Hey, what's up? It's your brother.
Okay. Okay, that's G-Wright, gospel singer. G-Wright, meet DJ. I think you met before, but say hello to DJ, my co-host.
Hey. We actually have met before, yes.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm good, babe. How are you?
Doing well, thanks.
Good.
Okay, tonight's show is Night Court. Night Court 8, matter of fact. We haven't done a Night Court all this year, which is astounding when I look through the files to find out what number we were on. We haven't done one since December of last year.
Really?
This is Night Court. Really? This is Night Court 8, and the first case, we got eight cases, well, seven cases, and the first case up on the docket tonight is the Eddie Long case.
Are you going to do that?
Oh, yes, we got it. We got
to do that.
We got to talk about this. We ain't going to carry on it because, eight cases to do. And I'm going to give the docket number, which is the year 2010. I'm going with the date, the actual date is 07 today. So it's 2010-07. That's the docket number. Court is in session. Eddie Long, I'm going to play the Eddie Long news report that was down here in Atlanta when they only had two accusers at the time. And after I get through playing this this news reel for 2 minutes, then I'll let you y'all chime in on your feelings about this Eddie Long thing.
Of one of Metro Atlanta's largest mega churches facing serious allegations of sexual misconduct tonight. You saw the story first on Fox 5. The I-Team's Dana Fowle fills us in on our top story. Dana?
Well, this is what's going on. Two men have filed suit against Bishop Eddie Long of the famed New Birth Missionary Baptist Church. Now, Maurice Robinson and Anthony Flagg claim Long coerced them into sexual relationships as young church members. They say Long abused his spiritual authority to seduce them with cars, money, clothes, even lavish trips. Now, the man's attorney says the relationship started when the plaintiffs were past the legal age of consent in Georgia.
The allegations are that sexual things started to happen at the ages of 17 and 18 years old. The age of consent in Georgia is 16 years old. So this is not an offense of child molestation under Georgia law, but is absolutely pastoral church abuse of two young parishioners.
Now, Long's attorney said the pastor categorically denies these allegations. Fox 5's Julia Harding talked to members of his congregation in Lithonia tonight who reacted to this startling news.
Oh, I'm definitely praying for him. I'm praying for protection for his family and that basically that he just comes out of this with a clean slate
because he's not that kind of person.
What kind of person is he?
He is a man who has helped out many, and I think that those who begin to judge him should wait until it all comes out. He's not that kind of person. Well, based on what I know, he's not that kind of person.
Now, several members say they were unaware the lawsuits had even been filed. The parishioners were there tonight to hear a guest preacher. Dana Fowle, Fox 5 News.
More details about the church. Bishop Eddie Long was installed as its pastor in 1987. It started with just 300 members. Now the congregation boasts a flock of 25,000. Because of the growing congregation, the church underwent a multi-million-dollar expansion of its sanctuary in 1991. And in 99, it added a family life center and then a 10,000-seat complex back in 2001.
Okay. That was the news report that we got down here in Atlanta when there was two accusers. It's up to four right now. I want to hear DJ's view on this. Of course, this is night court, and we can give a verdict here, or you can be undecided. Got to go down as guilty, keeping it real as innocent. DJ, D Lovely, what is your opinion on this whole Eddie Long scandal?
Is there something in between? I mean,
you can be biased.
Unbiased, everything biased, in me is undecided. Yeah, everything in me is saying guilty, but I just don't like to convict people based on circumstantial evidence. So I'm going to have to give him a pass until I know more.
You right.
I agree with her. You know, there's not. First of all, who are we to pass judgment? First of all, but it's a tragedy either way. If it is true, it's tragedy. True is really a tragedy. And when I first heard it, I said, "Man, this is worse than the Tiger Woods thing." Well, like, how many more? Two, three, four now. Either if he didn't do it, it's still a tragedy that someone would do that. But I just have to wait for more evidence to come. I just pray for all those people. I just pray for everyone involved.
I know one thing. I feel just like you guys. That he's guilty of one thing, wearing that wig in the church. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not feeling that toupee, and he was guilty on that charge. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. You just don't grow hair overnight like that, cat. Come on. I didn't see it where it was receding when I first seen him on TV. Now all of a sudden he looks like he's 38.
Well, he's already admitted to the toupee, so I don't think that's really an issue.
Yeah, well, for me, it bothered me. I'm just voicing my opinion. That's what he's guilty of to me. Wearing that toupee. I also got a recording. I got a lot of recordings tonight. This is one of the four young men, not the first two, the last two. His name is Jamal Parrish, and they caught him outside a shopping center, and he spoke to the news. Here's what he had to say.
His presence alone is seduction to a young man without a father. You look at him and he's everything you want to be. He's everything you see and you dream to be. And being around him, it's almost like a drug. You can't believe the place that you're at in your life and the things that you're doing and the cars that you're driving and the people that you're meeting. So it becomes, if I want to continue to feel this love and this power, I'll do whatever my dad wants me to. I can't accept in my mind that he never was a dad to me. So I love him for that, but at the same time, for what he did to me and taught me and how I see the world, I'll never be able to forgive him for that.
Why didn't you just stop and say, Bishop, that's wrong?
You're afraid to lose your father. You're afraid that if you tell him no, the support that he gives to yourself, the support that he gives to your family, and the support that he gives to you mentally, and the fact that you finally have a father that you've always wanted for and always dreamed of, would just walk away from you if you don't give him what you want. So you end up turning into something you never thought you'd be, which is now a slave to a man that you love. If you look at us in our eyes and you hear the pain in our voice, we don't have a reason to lie to this man. I loved him, and I'm always going to have love for the things that he taught me. But how he left us, it hurt worse than anything I ever felt in my life. So while the media and the press and the rest of the people around the city or around the country look at us like, how can a grown man let another man touch him? What you have to understand is this man manipulated us from childhood. This was our father and we loved him. This man turned his back on us when he had no more need for us. That's not a father. That's a predator. We would have to be the craziest kids in the world to want to come out and admit another man touching on us publicly. To really believe this is about money would be absolutely ludicrous. I cannot get the sound of his voice out of my head. and I cannot forget the smell of his cologne, and I cannot forget the way that he made me cry many nights when I drove in his cars on the way home, not able to take enough showers to wipe the smell of him off of my body. But that man cannot look me in my eye and tell me we did not live this pain. While you can sit in front of the church and tell them that you categorically deny it, you can't say that to our face. And you know this. You are not a man. You are a monster.
That was Jamal Parrish speaking out on the situation. One of the four young men that came out and filed the petition against Eddie Long. Again, I still feel like there needs to be more evidence before I say yay or nay to anybody. I feel like G. Wright that there's going to be a lot of people hurt from this all the way around. Church members, friends of Eddie Long, preachers across the country, a lot of black people. I mean, this is going to be a lot of hurt all the way around because either way, like T.D. Jakes said, either way, whoever's wrong, we're going to need to do a lot of praying. So, for either parties. Anybody else got anything else to say?
No, I think you covered it.
I just wondered, like, why would they wait to now? After they had all the money, all the other stuff. If that's true. I guess people process it differently. I don't know. I'm like,
I can share. Just put a little light on that from a whole different perspective. And not from any kind of sexual abuse, but being a victim of domestic violence myself and understanding the concept. Sometimes it takes you a while to be strong enough to be far enough removed from a situation to be able to speak on it. It's difficult when you're still close in proximity, either to the person or to the situation, to feel as though you are really going to have a voice that someone will believe. When you've covered something for so long, and it's so deep, and everything looks good on the surface, it takes a long time before you can peel the layers back and get to the point where you can see for yourself that the things that have gone wrong are things that you can now talk about and not be embarrassed. Because the first thing people always say to you is, why didn't you tell somebody? Well, it's hard to tell somebody when you're in the middle of something and you always think, I can handle this, I can fix it, I can figure a way out, and you think you can. And the truth is, you can't until you get strong enough to be able to walk away from it and then look back and say, that person did something to me that was wrong, and now I have to do something about it.
Okay, I understand where you're coming from that way.
Okay, case number one closed. We undecided on this. Okay, the next case, Jesus artwork. Like I said, I have a lot of recordings, so I'm going to let you guys hear this. This is very interesting. It's some artwork that a whole town is in uproar about.
News at 9 continues with a heated debate in Loveland over what some call art and others call pornography. Defenders of the work on display at the Loveland Art Museum say it's a statement about scandal in the Catholic Church. Opponents say the image of Jesus and what appears to be a sexual act is offensive. 9 News reporter Anastasia Bolton joins us from Loveland, where the controversy drew lots of people to a city council meeting tonight. Anastasia?
Bozzy, some people want the art removed. Some are not as extreme. They say the art can stay, but it needs to be maybe placed in a different room with a warning so the children would not be able to see it. And other people say the art makes them think, so they applaud the museum for having it on display.
We can't really show you the image, but lots of people in Loveland have seen it, and some are outraged it's in a museum for anyone to see.
Mom and Dad, what does it mean when a man has his legs between another man's thighs with his tongue sticking out? What does the person answer that little boy or little girl?
The image is part of a 12-panel lithograph done by Enrique Chagoya, a professor at Stanford University. The panel is a part of an 82-piece collection of art on display through the end of November. Many who live in Loveland are not okay with that. The city council chambers inside and out hasn't seen so many people in a while. The residents are split on what is the right thing to do.
They label it art. It's not art. It's pornography, pure and simple.
Chagoya is making a statement about the Catholic Church's role
in covering up pedophilia while the pedophiles act like they are a servant of Christ. The Pope is almost invisible in the corner, a tiny little drawing. Chicoya asks us to think. That is surely a good thing.
Loveland City Councilman Daryl Klassen is leading the charge. He says the piece doesn't necessarily have to be removed, but there needs to be a warning.
There's no idea of what you might encounter here for children and the subject matter. You know, you go to a XXX movie, they at least have the decency to give you a warning of what you might encounter in there.
Of course, some raise First Amendment rights to freedom of expression issues here, but Klassen says if the tax dollars are paying for the venue where the controversial art is being displayed, the city council should have the right to voice its opinion and do something about it. It is, Bozzy, ultimately up to the city council. But right now it is not on their agenda, so they've just listened to the residents tonight about what they think should be done.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. Thanks, Anastasia.
Okay, Jesus' artwork that is very profound. Some found it pornography hanging in the church. My question to the court is, should it be hanging in the church, yes or no? G. Wright.
Well, the way he described it, it sounded like it's pornographic to me.
Me too.
What were they saying?
I agree.
It's like pornography to me.
That sounds
heavenly.
So that
when that man described it, that sounded like it was heavenly.
Sure,
yeah, that didn't sound heavenly to me
at all. So you're saying no, it should not be hanging in the church.
Definitely no.
And DJ, I'm feeling your sentiments as well.
I'm absolutely in agreement. It just sounds like there's something, somebody's interpretation, and I think that when you start interpreting things into your, so it'll fit into the process, I think that you are making a huge mistake. And it's almost like forcing it on somebody and saying, oh, this is holy, based on whose idea. So I'm real uncomfortable with it.
Okay, we got that one. Jesus' artwork, no. We almost said hell no.
I know.
No.
I'm close.
I'm going to tell y'all a story that I, this is the third case. I'm going to tell you a story that I read in one of the newspapers while delivering mail. It was in Fort Stewart. There was a worker that works on Fort Stewart, and he wanted to kill himself, but he was too scared to kill himself. And I'm guessing from proofreading the story through that he talked to he's a white male. He talked to another white lady, and she said she had a friend that could help him out and help him kill himself. So he agreed to it. And it was a black dude who gets down on his luck. The white guy paid him $200.
That's all. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Paid him $200 to kill him. Took him out in the woods. He had a 25 caliber weapon. Shot him two times, I think two or three times, in the chest. They drove his vehicle and left the woods. Okay, cat laying there getting ready to die. He changed his mind. The hot lead probably went through his chest. He came, I don't want to die after all. So he had a cell phone and called for the 911. And when they got there, he said it was some black dude and a white lady tried to kill him, fabricated the story. Now everybody's in trouble. My question to you, the appellate court, should the guy that wanted to kill himself, should he be in trouble and get in and go to jail also? I'm going with DJ on this one first.
You know, it's so ridiculous, but at the same time, somebody who asked me to do something ridiculous, okay, I mean, let's take it out of this context completely. Let's say, you know, this guy says, hey, I want to rob a bank, but I don't want to go in and rob the bank. I want you to go in and rob the bank, and I'll wait out here, and you just bring me the money. Now, I'm going to split it half with you. Now, I'm making a choice at that point. Either I'm going to go in and rob the bank or I'm not. That doesn't make that guy guilty of anything other than planning the heist. I'm the one that takes the responsibility. So I say the man who said, hey, I want to die, that's on him. But he hasn't done anything wrong. To find somebody who says yes is when, you know, you've got a situation, and that's on that person. So I say no. The guy who said, you know, I want to die and kill me now, and he's not guilty of anything other than, you know, making a bad decision, which you don't want to die for that.
Zero.
Zero.
What'd you say?
I said ditto.
We're good.
Okay, I'm the judge, and I'm feeling definitely different than what you guys are. Because if it wasn't dude talking about he wanted to die, we wouldn't even have this story in the newspaper.
Yeah, but nobody ever has to make that. You can always want something, but you have the choice as the person who they're coming to and saying, I want you to commit this crime. You can always say no.
Okay.
You don't have to commit a crime because somebody asked you to.
Okay, I'm going to put it in.
$200.
Look here, plaintiff D. Lovely.
I'm just saying.
I'm going to give you an example. And I'm gonna and my ruling is gonna go down.
Okay.
Okay. Charlie Manson. Okay. Okay. The dude should go down. Charlie Manson. That's all I gotta say. Because Charlie Manson obviously didn't go in there and kill them people when he
was there.
He wasn't there.
Okay. But wait, he didn't get convicted. Of killing the Folgers or that group, he got convicted of a different set of murders that he was present for.
I'm telling you now, those were pinned on him too.
Well, you know what? It was only because he was the mastermind behind it, in the sense that he said, go kill these people. And at the same time, he participated in the thought process. Just the same, he also got convicted of another set of murders. So he was going to go no matter what.
Suppose this guy heals and we have another fiasco a couple of years later. I'm just saying.
Let's hope that when he heals, that he heals and he got holes in places that he can't use no more.
One other thing in my mind, the people that shot him, they should have waited it out till he died. We wouldn't be talking about it again. We would have been, man, found in the woods, dead.
Oh, well.
They should have waited. They were done to everybody. So I say the guy goes down.
Wow.
But it's 2-1. We're going to do what the majority say. And y'all say he was not wrong. Okay.
I know. I didn't say he wasn't wrong. I said he wasn't guilty. That's different.
He was not guilty then.
Okay.
He was keeping it real.
Yeah, basically. Because
we all know
you can be found not guilty, but that don't mean you not responsible. OJ is a prime example. So all I'm saying is, just like you said Charles Manson, I say OJ.
OJ going down, he's down now.
Well, that's not
okay.
For that.
Maureen, a high court struggles with a funeral protest case. The question of whether the father of a dead Marine should win his lawsuit against protesters. Yeah, them too. Protesters at church members who picketed at his son's funeral. I have audio for this. This is the audio for the Marines
funeral in the picketers.
Of law in America and the Fourth Estate above everyone ought to appreciate this, and you ought to all be thanking us for that heavy lifting we just did in there. The rule of law is the mere fact that you take offense at words or call yourself having your feelings hurt over words is not enough to shut up the speech. Now, you provocateurs of the Fourth Estate needed that protection more than we did.
But
note to all, when you have a private funeral, we will not be there. When you have a public funeral and you broadcast to the nation that that dead soldier is a hero and that God is blessing America, we will be there and tell you God is cursing America. It is a curse for your young men and women to be coming home in body bags. And if you want that to stop, stop sinning.
The people of Kansas have been faced with this harassment and terrorism essentially for decades. The rest of us just woke up to it when they started harassing military funerals. The Kansas residents have been stuck with this behavior for years. And we get a lot of phone calls and emails from Kansas, and those residents always want to immediately apologize and say how embarrassed they are for the Phelps conduct. And I hope that they realize that this isn't just a case about speech. It's about harassment, targeted harassment, at a private person's funeral.
My question to the court is, should the father win his lawsuit against the picketers who picketed his son's funeral? I'm going with G. Wright first.
I can't see a deal this time. You know what? Respect is respect. You know, and I don't know. I understand the whole thing about freedom of speech, right? You know, but if the guy's at his funeral, let him have his funeral. You know, and the thing about it is that we say we're going to love and we're going to show love to people, whether we agree with them or disagree with them. And we're going to always stand before God. But if we're going to say we're Christians, show some love. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to like it. That didn't even have anything to do with them. You know?
Right.
It's one of those kind of like in the middle of the road type. I understand about freedom of speech. But that didn't have anything to do with them. You know?
I agree. DJ.
I agree. I absolutely agree. I think that some things just require a level of respect that if you feel strongly about it, there is a time and a place for that, for you to display that disagreement. But that was not it. You don't inflict the family with a second set of pain after they've already endured the loss of a loved one. I just don't think it's right.
So we all in agreement, because I agree with everything y'all said. The father should win this case against the picketers for yelling and rioting on his son's funeral just because he was a Marine.
Crazy.
Okay, I want y'all to listen to this. This is the question before I even read it. Would you buy this diamond if you could afford it? It's called the Rare Pink Diamond. It goes on sale for $38 million. The fancy intense pink is 24.78 carats. Says the owner he's had it for 60 years. The stone has a flaw unnoticed by the naked eye due to wear and tear, but can be polished out. And it could sell between $27 to $38 million. My question to the panel, if you could afford it, you was living like a billionaire, Jay-Z, off in this piece, would you buy this stone if you could afford it? DJ.
Heck no. I have that kind of money, and that's what I'm going to spend it on? Heck no. Heck no.
Oh, okay. I could talk to G. Wright, because G. Wright
G. Wright is not a big baller, and I'm not either, so I know what his answer is going to be, but I want to hear, I don't want to hear Ditto. I want to hear G. Wright.
Hey, my phone is about to die off. I'm going to call you on my other line, but I will say no.
Okay. Hang up and call us back, G. Wright.
I'm calling you right there on my other line.
All right. I would say no, too. The court must say no.
Absolutely. Just, I mean, seriously, think about it. I don't care what kind of stone it is. There's nothing in the world that would make me spend that kind of money on a, please, let's keep it moving.
let me get CJ's answer on this. CJ, you there? CJ.
Yes.
Would you buy this stone that's between 27 and 38 million?
No, sir.
You would?
No, sir, I would not.
Oh, okay, no, sir. It's 24.78 carats, though.
And?
Okay. Okay. I just thought I'd tell y'all.
The question is, all what right, would you do with it? Once you bought it, what would you do with it?
You wear it and ball out.
You know what? That's ridiculous.
You couldn't walk around the streets in that.
Yeah, no, you're not on the streets. But, see, if you was balling already, you have securities with you everywhere you go.
Yeah, you're going to need more than security, brother.
You can't even trust the security with that.
Because you can't trust, yeah, you're right, you can't trust your security.
Thank you, CJ. Thank you. Okay, we're back. I got more audio. The Naked Cowboy, remember him? The guy that sing around in his underwear?
Mm-hmm.
New York? Yeah.
Yeah. His name is Robert Birch. He is running for president in the 2012 election as a member of the conservative Tea Party. Here's the little audio that he had to do at his coming out party in New York.
My name is Robert Burke. I'm better known as the Naked Cowboy. I would just like to say from the heart that I believe my life story is a testament to America's promise of individual liberty. I am the son of a career politician. I have a bachelor's degree in political science. Today, in defense of individual liberty, I am announcing my candidacy for the 2012 election of the office of President of the United States of America.
Yeah. Okay, you heard his little people cheering for him, too.
His mom and daddy.
And a few other people that was naked. G. Wright, would you vote for this guy? Do you think he got credibility?
You know what? A naked cowboy. I want a naked cowboy to be president. That's my question.
No.
No? No.
DJ.
Okay, without saying ditto, because I know you don't want us to just keep going back and forth like this, but we are in complete agreement tonight. I mean, am I really going to trust my financial future, my country's future, my personal safety to a man who has been standing in the middle of Times Square in his underwear playing a guitar? Really? No.
I am, other than the one that I disagreed with you, I agree with you on this one wholeheartedly. But for the simple fact, I think he would be good for the country and underwear prices would go down.
Ew.
But no, I thought it was very hilarious. I'm sure within the Tea Party they're going to have, primaries, so I hope there's more candidates running from that Tea Party. Of course, I guess Palin might run. through them. So
they have a bunch of idiots running.
You knew she was going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So what now?
You knew she was going to do that. Idiots running. I'm sorry. Go ahead. You're right.
I'm sorry. I said you know. First, I agree with what you just have said. You knew she was going to do that.
Of course.
She's still trying to build her case up now. Sore loser.
To be honest with you, I think, you know, by them having a candidate, that's going to take away from a couple of Republican votes as well.
Good.
Because, you know, people that would vote Republican, probably, you know, because there's a lot of Palin supporters, of course, and they probably would vote that way, especially if she won the primary for the Tea Party and became their candidate. I'm sure there's going to be more candidates to come through that party in the near future. Okay, we all say no in that case. Next case, North Carolina freshman suspended because of a nose piercing. She's only 14 years old. I got the audio, and here it is.
Carolina teen's nose has sparked a lawsuit.
She's missed 19 of the first 28 days of her high school career, and she's not her student. She needs to be back in class.
14-year-old Ariana Iacono was suspended from Clayton High School in Johnston County because of her nose piercing. Administrators say it violates the school dress code. Iacono appealed on religious grounds, saying she and her mother are part of the obscure Church of Body Modification. The church views tattoos and piercings as channels to the divine. School policy makes exceptions for a sincerely held religious belief, but Ariana's appeal was denied.
In America, you have the right to pursue your own religion, no matter how ridiculous your neighbors might think it is.
Now the American Civil Liberties Union is involved, filing a lawsuit in federal court.
The policy here says that the principal's got to determine whether what she is doing is consistent with her religion or is required by her religion, and that's just flat unconstitutional on its face.
The case is being fast-tracked in an effort to get Ariana back to class. Johnson County school officials say they are simply following policy and won't comment on the lawsuit. Noel Waghorn, The Associated Press.
Okay, old girl, I've seen the picture of the nose piercing, and it looks like a little small gold bump on her nose. They suspended her because of it, and she's got a lawsuit. My question to the court is, should she be allowed to go back to school? DJ.
Me? My turn? Well, yeah. I have to tell you, if the school policy was in place prior to her nose piercing, if she's an honor student, then she should be smart enough to know that she was going to be violating school policy. And you can't just make that decision and say, okay, well, now that I violated it, you got to let me back in because I'm an honor student. What? Seriously, you have to have a set of rules. And if everybody else is complying with the rule, she either must comply or homeschool. She has other choices. If her choice is to modify her body to the point that she's got tattoos and piercings, she's 14. These are things you can't undo, some of it. I mean, the piercings you can, but other things you can't undo. So I say stay home where it's acceptable, but don't ask everybody else to be subject to something that's not fair to them.
Good argument. At one time, I was kind of like, in the middle of the road on this one. G. Wright.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I agree with what you said about the rules. I guess the biggest thing is that if she knew that beforehand, it's different. It's different if she was already there and she had it. But under religious thing, if it's a religious thing, then there should be some kind of respect there. I'll say I'm in the road on that one. Middle of the road.
Okay. I agree with DJ. If it was a rule beforehand, she should have been like, Mom, I'll go to church with you and say hallelujah, but we can't get no nose pierced.
Or, you know what? Yeah, when you graduate, you pierce everything. If that's what you guys are all into, pierce it all.
Yeah, but, Mom, you know I got to go to school today, and you taking me away from gym class, and they serve a pizza today.
You know what? Think about it. You can pierce something that nobody can see. If y'all are all into piercing, pierce someplace that nobody can see, and then nobody will have an issue with it. But when you purposely pierce something,
They would when it's time for gym class.
Oh, well, I'm saying you don't know what she's piercing. Hello? There's places you can pierce.
Them girls
will.
You
can't see it.
Them other girls will when she takes a shower.
Okay, all I'm saying is there are piercings that you can't see even in gym class unless you are a gynecologist.
I know what you're trying to say, but she's 14 years old.
I'm just saying, she's 14, so why would her mother make that choice for her at 14, that she would pierce something that is clearly going to be seen and discussed every single day? No one else can do it, but you're going to use the cover of religion to say, okay, I want to do this. That's like saying, you know what, I want to wear a bone through my nose. And the school says, you know, no nose bones. So I say nobody should have one.
I agree with you. I'm just saying, she should have just said, Mama, I need to go to school today, and you tripping.
Yeah,
you just right on. Yeah. I agree with you. She should not, not be allowed to go to school ever again until she takes it out.
That's right.
Takes it out and go to school with it. You know, being the religion at the house.
Mm-hmm.
The last one, we got 13 minutes, the last one. It's flight attendants. There's a certain airline that's doing a dance to the in-flight safety rules. I'm going to play the audio for it. Right now.
Draw your attention to the dancing cabin crew.
Each seat is provided with a seatbelt.
Cebu Pacific, the low-cost Philippine airline, has resorted to dancing stewardesses to draw more passenger attention to its in-flight safety reminders.
When it's being executed in a dance and folded into the dance steps, I think people will pay more attention because they're looking for the steps, right? They're saying, okay, let's see. Where do they do the fasten the seatbelt? Where do they do the pull the tabs to inflate the vest?
Crew members do regular pre-flight safety demonstrations, then follow up with the musical version when the plane reaches cruising altitude.
The primary objective is to do the standard safety demonstration, right, which we did. The second safety demonstration, the dance, is, again, it's secondary. It's not a must-have, no? We did the standard one, which is required by civil aviation. So the second one is a nice to have, right? Fortunately, people paid attention, really paid attention, because it was fresh, it was new.
Here, the flight attendants are seen rehearsing the safety demonstration dance. A video of stewardesses performing the safety dance routine aboard a flight last week has become an internet hit. Myra Lopez, The Associated Press.
Okay, stewardess, dancing through the in-flight safety rules. Would you like to see this on your flight, or would you just like to see the regular boring pull your tray up and the mask come out with the air, use your seat as a flotation device, the same old ritual that they normally go through, or would you like to see them imply the dance along with it? G. Wright.
You know what? I guess I'd see it first and then make my decision.
Whole lot of gyrating going on, G, right? Whole lot of Janet Jackson-ism going on up in that safety flight room. I know how I feel it. You can be middle of the road all you want.
I would be
DJ.
It's a great idea if it will get people to pay attention. I have myself on a number of occasions been on a flight, and as soon as they start that whole safety, I just put my earbuds in and start doing something, working on my laptop. I'm not the least bit interested, so I hope that the plane never crashes because I wouldn't have a clue what to do. I would be running around and just going crazy. I would try to push the door open and who knows what I'd use as a flotation device. Maybe my next, you know, the person sitting next to me. But I'm saying to make it interesting, I might at least pay attention enough to say, okay, I'll retain that until the next time.
I'm going to tell y'all a story. When I was in second and third grade, Tim Jeter could not get his timetables right for nothing. Couldn't get them. Two times two is what, Tim? And I'd be, okay. My mom and dad bought these records. And they were singing the timetables out. I mean, they were jamming. Two times two is four. Fraggle Rock. They were jamming.
No,
by having them kind of records, I knew what every timetable was. You couldn't get me no more. Because every time somebody say, "Well, Tim, what is seven times five? Seven times five is 35." You know, I was on it. Was on. So
I agree.
I'm thinking that this would have the same premise if people were dancing, showing me the safety rules on the plane.
Now, I'm not going to disagree.
If we were to crash, I'd be talking about, use your seat as a flotation device. I would get it. So I'm assuming that this would be a good thing, and I'm saying yes.
Yes.
Okay, yes. That was the last one. I'm going to go back all through them, all eight. The rare pink diamond. We were asked, would you buy this stone? And we all agreed, hell no.
Okay.
Naked Cowboy, would you vote for him? Again, that was a resounding no. The nose piercing, should the person go back to school? And we said no. Flight attendants dance to end flight safety rules. Would you like to see this? One was middle of the road, but the majority said yes. High court struggles with funeral protest case. Should the father win his case? And we all said yes. Jesus artwork. We all said that was an unholy painting that was described. And we all said no. Story that I gave of the guy not wanting to kill himself. And we said he was not guilty. And I agreed with the majority, even though I disagree. And the Eddie Long case, we were all undecided on. 7 minutes left in the show. I want to thank my guest, D Lovely, as usual, the co-host of the show, and G Wright. G Wright, give out your plugs. I know you got a million of them. I'm going to sit back and act like, if you ain't singing them, I'm going to sit back and put my headphones on like DJ would. And
all right.
We're not even get started. Hey, just hit me up on Blog Talk Radio at blogtalkradio.com/GWright and then www.gwrightonline.com. Hit me up on Twitter, GWrightLove, and I'm not going to go through all the other ones yet.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay.
Because he got 2 million of them.
Well, that's okay.
Where can the people hit you at? I mean, you're always doing comedy on Facebook, so you might as well give us a shout-out to your
page. You know me, you can always reach me on Facebook. You can reach me on, you can follow me on Twitter. You can follow me on MySpace. My Twitter name is Diva DJC, or you can reach me on Facebook at Donna D. Lovely Collier. You can follow me on MySpace at Miss Donna Diva DJC. And I'm always here with you.
It's always a divalicious thing going on with you.
You know that too? Huh.
Yeah, I kind of feel the vibes.
You feeling it? Okay, well, good. I'm glad you got that.
I'm going to leave y'all. And I want to say thank you again for doing that Court 8. I'm going to leave y'all with a song, of course, what I did. It's a beat. It's the Z-Mentals. And it's the beat for Miss V's song, Z'd Down. Again, thanks to G. Wright and D. Lovely for being in the house. And
it was
CJ
nice to talk to you again.
Hooking it up. All right. Peace.
up, y'all? It's your girl, Kel the Music, a.k.a. Diva, and I'm chilling with my boy Taz on ATAZP Blog Talk Radio.